Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, we're going to start you off with a little bit of hooker chat because Hunter Biden was banging some strange in Russia. Was Sleepy Joe paying for it? Paying for what? We're talking pussy, folks. Oh, round number two, okay. The Warrior Monk, a.k.a. Chaos, a.k.a. Mad Dog General Mattis, a.k.a. Hubby Dubby. Our guy, General Mattis, got married this weekend, and he got married to a physicist, and the officiant was none other than the king himself, Elvis Presley. Round number three, Kate goes down a rabbit hole about a terrible chlorine gas explosion in Jordan. That should be fun. Round number four, losing your weapon. Ooh. That's embarrassing. Losing your weapon at a butterfly sanctuary, even more embarrassing. Leaving your weapon in a little rental car that you had so somebody else picks it up on the side of the road and then takes it to the butterfly factory or the butterfly building and then calls your first sergeant and says, you got to come pick it up from the butterfly factory, but bring your OIC and his OIC with them so you guys can all pick it up. That's extra embarrassing.
Round number, butterfly factories.
I know the butterfly factory. It's a lot different than the dick sucking factory for sure. And round number five, the 4th of July is upon us. Did you know one of the top firework manufacturers in the world is also a big time military contractor? It's the same people that built the F-35. That's the reason why fireworks suck now.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
All right, we're going to get started with one of these things that's going viral on TikTok. We're trying on TikTok. I'm not trying a lot on TikTok. We have a TikTok if you want to follow it at Zero Block 30 spelled out, because the first time we had an account Zero Block 30 with the number, the very first post that I put up there, it was this fella running down the road with his dick hanging in the wind, got banned right away.
We got banned immediately from TikTok. Yes.
Like Barstool, the main Barstool TikTok tagged us. We had like 1,000 something followers from that. We posted one video and they're like, no, man, you guys aren't ready for this at all.
And you're done.
I don't even know if you could see the dick. You could see a little bit of the shadow that the dick was casting on the highway. You could definitely see full out butt cheeks though.
Oh, sure. It's crazy. The stuff now that we get that you get kind of banned on Instagram for or whatever. Like if you even use a certain word, I know on TikTok, like you can't say sex. So people spell it S-E-G-G, like whatever. Yeah. There's all sorts of rules. You can't show a little dick anymore.
No, that's not America.
America.
Speaking of that, Facebook, man, Facebook's like the fucking Gestapo. Now there's this one article that I was reading. This woman put out that how to get abortion pills through the mail. And she put that up as a post. It was immediately taken down by Facebook. She posted the same exact wording, but instead of abortion pills, she put guns stayed up. And like the reason why Facebook had said that they took it down is because it was illegal activity. It goes against their guidelines. So she put guns, she put weed, she put crack cocaine, black tar heroin, like all of those things. None of them got taken down except for the abortion.
Not the pills. Black tar heroin or the
not
crack?
Not even black tar heroin. Wow. Yeah.
But if you need some, plancpills.org.
I thought you were going to say black talk.
Gentlemen, plancpills.org.
The hook for the heroin and the black tar.
Yeah.
No.
Anyway, TikTok game has been going around. It started with like a group of girls hanging out and they're like, okay, so he's a three, but he talks to his mom and he's like good to his mom. And people are like,
what's
okay,
wrong with that?
That makes him an eight. That brings him up is what I'm saying. Good. It makes you better. Okay, or he's a nine, but he doesn't hold the door for people at Wawa. Well, now he's a two, my friends. So the things that make you more attractive, maybe whatever your physical looks are. So we decided to take that. Wait,
and I got to say, this really only applies to how ladies look at fellas. Like it doesn't go the other way. Like no guy that's like a nine is going to be like, man, She's a fucking uggo, but she is hilarious. I'm going to still be with her. Women will do that. Like, what, my wife is a great example.
Maybe we were talking about it on here, but I was talking to somebody else and they'd listened to a podcast with some sort of doctor or psychologist or whatever, and how it doesn't, you're right, chaps, it doesn't go both ways, where men are very superficial in general, whereas women will allow other things to come into play to account for attractiveness.
Maybe just its variation.
You motherfuckers have set the bar so goddamn low, and we're trapped in your patriarchy, so we don't have much of a choice. You see it in Hollywood movies. Some dorky guy can, Jack Black can get Kate Winslet in whatever. You see it.
Jack Black's real wife is hot, so it's true.
Exactly, it's true. Sports reporters, all the guys look like melted sludge. And all the ladies are smoke shows. And good luck if you're me trying to be a real sports reporter. That's why, no offense to Barstool, that's why I work at Barstool.
That's a great movie, sidelines. She's out of my league. That's a great example of it.
Yeah, she's out of my league. Dude got Alex Eve. Anyways, yeah, so whatever. But so, okay. But it's just a fun TikTok game, so I thought we'd play it here. He's a 7.5, but he talks about Army football constantly. He's a 2.4.
10. No.
He's a 7.4.
Wait, that just right there, the first two, that was a sneaky way of me, you saying I'm uglier than Cons. Because you started with a 7.5 and I started with a 7.4.
What's up?
She's a 2.2, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you,
chaps. Can't believe she gave you a 7.4. I wouldn't give you much higher than a 6.
And yeah, right. 7.4. I have so many text messages where you've tried to putt from my rough. It's unbelievable.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means.
I'm sick of this tomfoolery, this ballyhoo.
He's a 7.4, but he gets the meat sweats when he eats venison, and he's had diarrhea since Easter of 2007.
Wait, now I'm the ugliest person on the podcast because Nick is next, and he's a 3.6.
He's a 7.6, but he spends all his free time making WWE reenactment videos. He's a 9. Yeah, he's a 10. Yeah. He's much better.
He's a 6.
I can't believe that we varied away from the format that I made. That was actually military related.
We'll
Why didn't we go back to 7.5? The entire purpose of me starting that tweet thread was to make it military. And now everybody in the comment thread, all these people are ASVAB waivers. Everybody in the Zero Block 30 Instagram post, by and large, 90% ASVAB waivers, which is perfect because the Army just announced their new recruiting tool is that they don't have, their new folks don't even have to have a GED. Or a high school diploma.
That's fantastic.
It's overrated.
Give me all the dummies.
It's overrated.
That's fine.
Here,
you want a military one, chaps? He's a 6, but he has a supermoto marine
tattoo.
It's
not the same format, Cons. Just throw an E or an O. That's all you have to do to make it a military threat.
He's an E6, but he has a bunch of moto marine tattoos of former Marines.
Perfect. That's great.
Thanks. Well, I wanted to introduce the game so that people could understand it before we jumped into the E4 whatever. Anyway, that was the fun icebreaker. We'll skip it. But
no, keep going. No, read them.
Read them. Let's go. We're having a grand old time.
All right. He's an E8, but he's only been divorced once. That's hot patootins. That to me is
unicorn.
E10.
I had one Master Guns who got married. And it was the same guy who got real pissed whenever I got like ribbons and medals after I came back from Iraq, because he had spent like 27 years in and had nothing, had like 5 ribbons and medals as an E9. It was unbelievable that he had done that. I don't know how you do that, but he did that. And he's the only E9 I knew who got married straight out of boot camp and was still married. That's impressive to do 27 years straight out of boot camp. Because at that point he had been married to his wife for 9 years longer than he had been alive when he joined.
I had a first sergeant who had been married to his wife the whole time, and everyone was always like, couple goals, how did they pull that off? There's nobody else. She's an 06, but has an open door policy. That's a general. I'm putting her all the way up. I don't know what O that is, but that's
7.
Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an E2, but maxed his PFT.
That's E4, E7. No time.
E4. It's an E4. the brother Harmon said he's an E4, but he's forklift certified. That's E6.
Yeah.
Promote that, man.
Is that one of the certifications that transfers over to civilian? Wouldn't that be better? It should,
better,
but it should for like paramedics and stuff too.
Yeah, I agree.
Breach or Pass says he's an E9, but he breaks into junior Marines' apartments.
Oh, that's E1
behavior.
That's E1 behavior.
I love that. I know for sure that this guy absolutely does know a story where an E9 was breaking into junior Marines' apartments.
No, we've talked about it. We had it on the show. Do you remember? Yeah. It was a couple months ago, maybe even a couple years ago. Who knows? The timeline all runs together. But there's an investigation, and the Sergeant Major took it upon himself to go into this other, it was like a E4 or something like that's room because he didn't answer the phone a few times whenever they tried to call him. So the Sergeant Major went to his house, and the Sergeant Major was on like a fucking Simply Safe type camera. And he was looking through the guy's dresser, looking through his drawers and shit like that. He's like, if you're looking for me to see if I'm okay, do you think that I'm in my top dresser drawer? Is that where you think I'm at?
Mm-hmm.
The answer was no.
The answer is no. Barsamian 22 said he's an E5, but he does not bring his personal problems to work. That's an
O3. We have to make these a little more realistic. Every E5 is bring your personal problem to work.
She's an O4's wife, but demands a salute at the gate. Ooh. O1. You're going back to O1. He's a Chief Warrant Officer 4, but I've seen him working, said Alex Medic 17.
Doesn't exist.
He doesn't exist.
Also, Chief Warrant Officer 4, shout out Woody Williams.
Woody Williams, yes. We'll have to talk about that at the end of the show. PMCC3 said she's a stripper but has a good heart. I'll call her a dancer then. Okay. Don't they all? He's an E2, but he has an overnight liberty chit.
Liberty
ladies,
violator.
That's an E5 in my liberty book. Risk. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Andrew Bouncen said he's an O1 but was prior enlisted.
Oh, that's
an
good.
O3.
Yeah.
That's an automatic bump up.
I think that gains, that might be the biggest respect modifier that's in the military, because other than that, nobody respects an O1. Like it's if it's an ensign, if it's a second lieutenant, nobody respects an O1. You put O1E, people are like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyways, that was my icebreaker.
Okay.
That was fun.
So we'll go ahead and
delete.
To...
We can delete that clip.
No, we don't have to delete it. We're keeping it. Round number one, we're going to talk a little bit about Hunter Biden. I don't know what it is about Hunter Biden. I feel the same exact way about the Trump kids. I don't give the first flying fuck what any of them do. As long as it's not like crazy illegal or whatever. To me, if you're the president's kid, you don't matter. Like you just don't matter to me. Like
But you do matter when you get your president parent involved.
Sure. Like if it's directly involved or something like that, like I guess a good example would be like the Trump Foundation when Eric's in charge of that, I think, whenever they had to do all kinds of payments because they defrauded people and things like that. I think that's a big deal. I don't know Hunter Biden's story a whole lot, mainly because mainstream media doesn't pick up on a lot. So let's see if we actually think, one, if this is true or not, because it's from the Washington Examiner through the New York Post. But we'll see if what we think about this.
Yeah. This, by the way, he reminds me of like the movie Black Sheep. You're just like, oh my God. And I feel like every politician has at least one of these people in their family that everyone's just like, oh God. Oh
yeah. Like Bill Clinton's
here comes
brother
Hunter.
Was a fucking drunk and he had his own beer named after him. Like his own, like, I forget what it was called, like Buddy Beer, some shit like that.
Yeah. So Joe Biden inadvertently financed his son Hunter's dalliances with a Russia-linked escort ring, according to a report that came out Monday. President Biden wired his 52-year-old son $100,000. You got to cut your son off. I'm sorry. Especially if you're fucking president.
This guy's 52?
52?
I didn't realize he was that old.
I didn't realize it either. I thought maybe 40.
Yeah.
Even still. You got what the fuck?
I mean, I guess it makes sense because that old bird is old as shit too. Like Joe's like 79.
But what do we think is
like
the cutoff?
15-year-old.
What's the cutoff for when you need to stop sucking from your parents' teeth?
I think after 25 is egregious.
Yeah.
Yes. Anything after 25, and like especially if you know your kid is like Hunter Biden, like you know where this money is going. You're not stupid. So you got to cut them off.
And you know that they've been given every advantage in the world. Like as a senator's son, his entire life, essentially, he's been given every possible advantage. The best schools, family always had money, things like that. Hunter Biden's got 52 years old and asking daddy for money. Get the fuck out of here.
To use the line from the old Al-Anon meetings I used to go to. You got to detach with love. You got to Detach with love. Anyways, President Biden wired his 52-year-old son $100,000 to help him pay bills from December 2018 through January 2019, the Washington Examiner
reported.
That's
2 months, folks. I think the way that it's set up there, it sounds like it's a lot longer. That's a two-month period. 100 grand.
Well, that's maybe makes it worse. Like, right. I can see like giving absolutely 100 grand
over I know.
Years.
That's what I'm saying. It is way worse. Like if it's 100 grand over the course of 5 years, that maybe not. That's not that bad. 100 grand in 2 months, that's pretty significant.
And these are records from a laptop Hunter Biden left behind at a computer repair shop in Delaware, you fucking moron. Hunter Biden, meanwhile, had spent more than $30,000 on sex workers between November 2018 and March 2019, records show.
Four months, 30 grand.
That's a lot of cum.
We're doing like 7,500, 8 grand a month in fucking cooch.
Including
dude, Hunter Biden, I'm sorry, he's that guy in the friend group who's always the one to suggest going to the strip club.
Oh, big time.
It's like, dude, we just, you know, not every weekend, buddy. Not every weekend. Relax.
Yeah. And Russia's strip clubs, I have to imagine, are absolutely insane.
Yeah, no, a lot of these sex workers are linked to Russia-based email addresses and connected to an exclusive model agency called Uber GFE, the outlet reported. Joe Biden wired Hunter $5,000 while his son was actively engaged with one escort and was also convinced.
See, now how the fuck could a laptop tell you that? Like a laptop's megadata is not going to be like this data
was
actually received.
It was Mitt Rust when the 5,000.
He was in somebody's mouth. Yeah.
And President Biden was also convinced to send another $20,000 to pay for his stay at a New York drug rehab program that never came to fruition.
See, and this is the problem, like, because as Joe should know, he's been around Congress enough and he's been in like medical talks and shit like that. If you're paying for somebody's drug rehab, you don't give them the money for the drug rehab.
No shit.
You give the rehab clinic the money for the rehab once he's actually there.
And already, like, I know people are blind when it comes to their kids, but this is the kind of stuff, like, we talk about finance stuff can make you lose security clearance in the military. Like, your judgment comes into question. Can you be a leader? Can you be trusted if you're making super poor decisions? And it's like, dude, this is not instilling confidence in me in any way that you're fucking doing this. In a series of reports from October 2020, the Post first detailed the business dealings of the president's younger son in Ukraine and China based on documents and data found in the laptop. Hunter Biden is now under federal investigation for possible tax fraud stemming from his overseas business dealings. And House Republicans want his longtime partner, Eric Schwerin, to turn over documents they believe link the president to those relationships. There's no indication in the cell phone backup messages contained in the laptop that Joe Biden knew some of the money he sent his son went was going to be spent on sex workers.
Of course not.
Right.
Like what I imagine here, because by all accounts, Joe Biden, he's got his issues and he's done the shit that he's done. He can't fucking speak. It's embarrassing watching him talk in NATO this week. Like you have some of the most divisive and important moments in modern American history that has happened in the last 2 weeks. And he sounds like he's taking a nap on a beanbag, like whenever he's speaking about it. He's not the guy for the job right now, by far. But he, by all accounts, he looks like he's a good dad. Like he looks like he legitimately cares about his children. You're not going to be fucking sending 30 grand to your kids for fucking.
Sorry, but are you really that good of a parent if you clearly have a child with problems and all you continue to do is facilitate that?
Yes, it's a sickness, I'm not a parent dude.
Yet. I'm not saying it's good judgment. So, like, your kids are not there as having two different children. My children could not be more different from each other. Like, there is absolutely nothing. I really firmly believe now that one of my kids is 17. Sure, there's going to be some lessons that are hopefully deep ingrained, but it becomes more and obvious to me as my children get older and older that the things that I'm doing play such a small part about who they are. Look at the difference in Hunter and Joe Biden's kids. Like some of them are doing fantastic. Some of them aren't doing great. The Clintons, one of them became president of the United States and one of them couldn't stay out of rehab the whole time. I don't think that they're parented that different. It's just the person is inherently different.
Yeah. My brother is perfect and I'm an enormous fuck up. And my parents have had to help me multiple times throughout my life and it's nothing they did. I'm just a moron. But anyway, but I do think you're right. Like, I do think like enabling your kids is a sickness. Like families have to go to therapy for it. It's like get so deeply ingrained. I have no people in my family ever struggled with addiction. And it took a long, 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 long time for the families to stop enabling them. Like, it's really hard.
And but, you see it. And like, and I think Cons is right in a way, because parents that are like Joe Biden, who seem to be very, very caring, are much more likely to be that enabler, because they want to do everything right. Give them every single chance that they possibly can. And I don't think turning that nature of being a giving person and being a forgiving person and wanting to see your kids succeed and give them every aspect to do that is a bad thing. But I think sometimes it leads you into a place where Hunter Biden could be.
I just think if parts of this story are true, where he's just turning a blind eye and has no idea where any of these substantial amounts of money are going, I don't see how that's good. I appreciate what you guys are both saying about being caring. And Kate, it is a sickness. Like, you want to.
You can also underestimate, though, how manipulative addicts are, how manipulative these motherfuckers can be. And if he knows dad's old and has already lost his son and blah, 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 like who knows?
Yeah.
But also, you're right. It is extremely questionable judgment. Like, this for sure is not great. Anyways, and in one February 2019 message to a woman named Eva, Hunter Biden told the point of contact at Uber GFE that his accounts were temporarily frozen since trying to pay her workers with Russian email accounts was too much of a red flag for his bank. So he was well aware that what he was doing was a huge fuck up, and he still did it. Mm-hmm. Ava referred to Hunter using his first name, Robert, in the text messages photo show. She also asked him to send funds by wire like he did before. "Send me Julia and I will give her the cash," Hunter replied, a screenshot shows. "Okay," Eva responded. In another instance, Joe Biden wired Hunter $5,000 less than 3 hours before he filmed a dispute with an escort regarding a $10,000 payment at a cottage in Boston. I gotta say one more thing. What if, like, this is just like a huge what if.
That's what this whole thing is a big what if.
But like, I really what do. If too, though, like Joe Biden, well, I'm going down speculation nation.
I love
I'm
it.
Going,
let's do it. Let's just make wild speculation.
Another reason Joe Biden is giving him all this money is because he knows there's less likelihood of some crazy shit leaking out as long as his son has money and is happy and is doing his thing.
I mean, there was that voicemail that came out.
Desperate.
Yeah, what there was a voicemail that came out that kind of proves that Joe Biden knew about what was Hunter was doing in other countries. And that's why I think, like, this story, you know, again, Chaps, to your point, like, do I really care what the president's kids do? No, not at all. But when it affects what the president does and calls into question his own morality, then I want to hear about it. And I want to have his dealings held to the same account, the same standard that previous presidents have been held to. So I think it's interesting that this story kind of flies under the radar. You keep hearing stories pop up in every now and again about whether or not he knew about his son's dealings in China. When does being a good parent affect how you are viewed as the president?
Yeah. And one of the aspects of this story that I think we should mention is the last two presidents is this kind of news has been much more prevalent. It's because they're old as fuck. Like, Sasha wasn't doing this because she was fucking 8. Like,
right.
The Bush twins were barely in high school whenever W took over. Like, we have these old asses that are going to have kids that are in their fifth. I mean, Hunter Biden is old 50. Enough to be president.
Yeah.
Oh my
right.
God. Yeah. This is Eva told Hunter Biden in January 2019 that the total charge for 16 hours with an escort would be about 10 grand, while directing him to wire the funds to a bank account linked to a woman with a Russian email address. Less than 90 minutes later, Hunter got an email informing him that Joseph R. Biden Jr. had sent him $5,000 through Cash App. Cash App brought to you by ZBT. No, I'm just kidding. No free ads. Joe Biden's assistant at the time, Richard Ruffner, also texted Hunter to say the amount was the most allowed since the weekly limit is $7,500. Joe Biden later texted Hunter to check if the funds went through, but he didn't get a response that evening. So he's sending his son this money and doesn't even get a response.
Yeah.
Hunter Biden appeared probably to got a finger the in payment butt. In text messages and blah, blah, blah. They get into an argument. Have I ever been anything but respectful? Hunter Biden asked Eva. Hunter Biden at the time claimed he was so broke he couldn't afford to rent a pair of skis in a text message to his sister-in-law turned lover. Hallie Biden, just one day
how
before.
How are you that broke? I don't believe. Well,
you're
I guess
spending
I do
all your money
that.
On yeah. Russian hookers. It's a slippery
hookers
slope,
and drugs.
My friend.
That'll
I will say
to
this:
you.
I would like to be a fly on the wall for both a Trump and a Biden Thanksgiving. Absolutely. I very much would. Oh, either one, I'll take. But
I think Joe loves his kids. He's got to kind of hate Hunter right now, though.
Yeah.
He's got to hate
like every time he turns around.
Like,
every time he turns around, it's a new problem. You got to think like, hey, I'm trying to run this country here. And then you're getting.
But at the time, he wasn't. Here. Like yeah, when a lot of this like, stuff yeah. wasn't going down, he wasn't like trying to yeah. run. He was trying to run the country a little right. bit. And a lot of this is even before that stuff. So a lot of it could just be like, leave me the fuck alone. Like, dude.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Like, hey, I could deal with this problem and get very involved. Or I could just wire him the money he's asking for and I can go back to the campaign trail.
And you are really in a rock and a hard place. If you're the former vice president of the United States sitting in the Senate for that long and your son is claiming to be completely broke in Russia, there's some shit that could really, really go bad.
Mm-hmm. I think this is where like the right thing to do as Stiva, it's easy to say like what you would do as a parent of someone else is take it way back in his career. Joe Biden should have said, I love my kids. I love my son, Hunter, but I'm taking a step back from him. Anything that he does from here on out, I'm cutting him off with love. Like that's on him, not me. Yeah, and I think you have to take a step away. If you're going to stay in politics and do what you're
nobody's
doing,
nobody's going
to
do that in politics.
You do, but you're right.
But
Kate,
I think
but
that's
like,
the
like
right
what you
PR
said,
thing
you can't,
to do that people
right
be like,
PR thing, but not right parent thing to do.
I
you're never going
to
stop.
I
don't even
think it's the
right
parent thing to do too.
I don't even think it's, I think it's the right parenting thing to do. I don't think it's the right PR move to do. If you, no matter how bad it gets, because they're going to look at it. Oh, did he kill somebody? Did he do some kind of egregious crime? And really, so far, the answer is no. I think a lot of the American electorate, like people put themselves, they try to put themselves in other people's position without truly understanding the scope of what's going on. There's no way that anybody outside the Biden family could know how big of a fuck up Hunter was for so long.
Right.
So whenever, even if like when Hillary and Bill were together, if Hillary would have thrown Bill shit out of the White House, it's the right move for, and I think almost every wife that had been treated poorly is the biggest Hillary stan of all time. And it would have been the right move for their family at the time, but politics for why she knew it was the wrong move.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but this is kind of just politics as usual in our country. Like you go all the way back to like when freaking Ted Kennedy drove off a bridge and drowned a woman. His father was very much involved in covering that up and ensuring that his political career didn't get completely derailed. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are examples throughout. This is nothing new in our political system that these people
yeah.
try to cover things up and keep people protected.
It's not
it's just
the
latest
too.
I mean, the Attorney General of Texas has been under felony indictment since 2015, and he's still the Attorney General and just
like
got
how?
Like won the primary again. The same exact time period, he got that, the same exact shit as Martha Stewart. She went to jail. He's still the Attorney General. It makes yeah. zero sense.
Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, I can't wait to see what that crazy man does next. Really wild. All those images of him like smoking a cigarette and he has such like that scumbag body, which I know.
He
so
does.
Well.
He does.
Now, what do you guys think? Joe Biden just spins it. What do you think he takes that picture of Hunter passed out in the bed with like a lit cigarette, like in his hand, he's got his eyes closed and shit. Joe Biden goes to both the POTUS and his own Twitter account, tweets that photo. And the only three letters are LOL when he does it.
Just really lean into it.
Just start roasting him. Like this fucking piece of shit.
Okay. Honestly, that LOL would make him Hunter. That would make him so relatable as an individual. Like, oh, crazy kids, am I right? Like, mm-hmm. what do you want from me? My kids are screw up.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of parents with
something
screw up
years
kids.
Old. Jeez.
Yes. Or oh, like geez. He can post a little meme of people going through and be like, most of my kids, and then Hunter Biden, and he's looking at the side of the mountain being sad.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to round number two. Instead of making fun of Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, let's make fun of Secretary Mattis.
I'm not making fun of him. I felt like this was a heartwarming. This is a heartwarming thing.
So, I'm about to lean into
from
him too.
Sarah Sicard at the Military Times. Always a Marine, never married. That was legendary Marine Corps General James Mattis's life until now. The man known as Warrior Monk is no more after recently exchanging marriage vows with physicist Christina Lomasny is a tech.
He got Lomasny down and downward facing dog, folks. Am I right?
Okay. Well, She is a big time person in the tech world and a physicist who is now director of commercialization at a laboratory in Richland, Washington, where they reside.
It's so silly to be a physicist and like how accomplished she is. And she's just a big time person in the tech world.
That's I'm simplifying like, it. She's
I understand it. I read through her bio. Her bio is so impressive that yes. I only recognize like one out of every four or five words. The rest of them is just filler.
That's why I simplified it to what I did. I didn't even read. Yeah.
The smart people are just the worst. When you got all kinds of technical words that the root words are Latin, get out of my face.
She's got to think he's a little dumb.
Oh, yeah. Like
a
physicist
and a marine.
What are you reading there, James? Oh, fucking Art of War again. Real cool.
Message to Garcia. That's only right. 12 pages
Nailed
long.
Hmm. What is that one? Oh, What We Carried.
Yeah. Okay. the pair were first married in a riverside ceremony on the banks of the Columbia River. And
Love
he's
that.
A huge Northwest guy. He's always seen like fly fishing out there and whatever, followed by a Las Vegas ceremony officiated by an Elvis impersonator. Mm-hmm. So they met in a bar. The couple met in a bar.
Oh my
initially,
God.
And then they got married by a Vegas, an Elvis impersonator. What's more Marine Corps than that? I love it.
And it was the same exact Elvis impersonator that the writer of Generation Kill, Nathaniel Fick.
I was going to get to that at the end. Hold on.
Wow. God. Way to steal that thunder.
Or Evan Wright. Yeah. Sorry.
The reception was held at the Palazzo in the Venetian Resort. And so I too have been to a Marine Corps wedding in Vegas. Ours was at the Castle one, Excalibur.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and it was
I was going to say, I think of all the different Vegas hotels, the Palazzo might be the classiest. Because the Bellagio is fake classy.
Yeah, Bellagio.
Because no matter what,
classy.
Fountains aren't fancy. No matter what, you can't have a fancy fountain.
Fountains are gaudy. I'm just gonna say it. Fountains are gaudy.
I mean, they got like remote control boats and shit going in there. The Palazzo is a way better, nice hotel. This is a general level, physicist level reception.
It's where Nick stays when he's in Vegas, and he's far classier than any of us. So yes, it is a classy place. Ours is at the Excalibur.
Italian.
The couple got married right outside of where Thunder from Down Under, like all these women were waiting to go into Thunder from Down Under. And we were waiting for the wedding to start. And they got divorced a few months later. It was a hoot.
What's
anyways,
Thunder from Down Under?
Oh, it's the Australian men with flopping their kangaroo tails around. It's a male stripper show.
Oh, okay.
Thunder
you
from
know
Down
that,
Under.
Thunder from, no, I never heard of it.
Well, you
something new every
up.
Day.
I'm a Christian.
You got to look it up.
I'm a Christian.
Yeah. Anyway.
Rip club. I would never.
Before serving as Secretary of Defense under former President Donald Trump, many a salty dog would joke that he was married to the Corps, largely because of a 2017 New Yorker profile, which said he once came close to marrying a woman who insisted he leave the Marines, to which he said, "I don't think so, bitch."
Zero.
Zero chance, bitch, he said. Described Mattis's bachelorhood. Described Mattis's bachelorhood as allowing a single-minded focus on his career and a passionate engagement with the military's traditions and history. And I remember this article even describing his, I hit the limit on my New Yorker art. I tried to read it again, but I remember describing his residence as like three books and a couch. Like his existence was very bare bones. He never did anything gaudy or crazy or whatever. He just was a Marine. And then he'd go back home to like take care of his mother and go fishing.
I mean, it's
and he was a Marine.
The old saying, if the Marines wanted me to have a wife, they would issue me one. It was that
I didn't
come
find
to
a
life.
Wife in my sea bag.
Yeah. I found a husband in the smoke pit. Turns out very easy. But not anymore. Fun twist, journalist Evan Wright, who embedded with the Marines in 2003 during the invasion of Iraq and wrote the Rolling Stone's famous award-winning article that led to Generation Kill, which included General Mattis, he tweeted out that a few years ago, he was also married by the very same Elvis impersonator as Mattis.
And it was years ago. That's just so sad. Like,
what are the odds?
Your entire life, that's what you do, is impersonate Elvis.
Yeah, but you know what, chaps? Maybe that's not sad. Maybe that person is extremely happy and they really like Elvis and they really love bringing people together in a ceremony that celebrates their love.
4 years tops wearing those long sideburns before you absolutely hate yourself.
Do you want to work at some job you hate, or do you want to work for a couple hours a day pretending to be Elvis, marrying drunk people in love and seeing someone different people every day and maybe getting a little drunk yourself and dancing to some tunes?
I mean, honest to God, that job is my nightmare. Like having to put on a happy face and curl your lip up every day and doing that shit.
If I ever get married again, I'm going to have you be the officiant. Okay. And I'm requesting that you are Elvis.
I'll do that.
You must dress up as Elvis. I'll do it.
Guaranteed.
Okay.
What's your favorite Elvis song?
Hound Dog, which is a stolen song from a black woman. Anyways.
Say, only fools
I don't even think Elvis is that hot, honestly.
He's an attractive fella.
Big Mama Thornton. Maybe not the end of his life. Big Mama Thornton wrote Hound Dog. Yeah. And by the way,
I'm a Suspicious Minds guy, by the way. Thank you.
Anyways, Evan Wright, the journalist who also is married, he tweeted out, "I can't believe General Mattis from my book Generation Kill got married using the same Elvis impersonator I did, though I found him first. Such an odd, personally striking, yet completely pointless coincidence," to which right away all these veterans were like, "Oh, he's just a general from your book."
That stood out to me. That's how he classifies him.
That is pretty egregious.
Without Generation Kill, nobody knows who Mattis is.
General Mattis from my book. If you don't, not you Secretary know that guy? Of Defense, not the guy who was a 4-star general and served for 40 years. The guy from my book, duped by Sornos or whatever the fuck it was called.
Theranos.
Yeah. Like he got duped by her too. And I need somebody. Cons, you needed to be on top of this. Mattis's shirt is just fucking.
Oh, it's from the I was gonna get into it.
It looks like a shirt that Cam would wear in what's that TV show?
Modern Family. It's not fancy enough. That thing is plain Jane.
Cams were very loud. Yeah, and not to mention,
and it's not I'm tucked just gonna in.
Say it. It's not tucked in, and right although down. That is the style, that's the style for that shirt. I would never. Number one. Number two. It looks wrinkled as all get out.
It's a little see-through.
Oh, yeah. He's with a little bit. You're seeing full-out Mag Dog nipperoons.
But you know what? Time out. He's with a redhead. She's got to be a firecracker. I'm going with the stereotype.
She fucks,
they met in a bar. No.
That's not what we were saying, no.
But I'm just saying, I like to see this side. The smile on his face in this photo where they're
first time I've ever seen a smile in any sort of photo.
Genuine, say what you will about the war didn't go so great. There's some tough memories. You see that little Mattis smile.
Do you
say to yourself, that's cute as a bud?
With this fella spending this much time, and now he does look happy because his wife kind of looks like one of the characters from Sex and the City, the redhead from Sex and the City. Yeah,
they're very cute couple, and they seem very happy.
Because I would imagine if you spent 40 years in uniform where the Marine Corps was your entire life, like
you
everything
don't want to tuck
about
in your shirt anymore. You want your nipples showing.
Do you think he regrets it?
Regrets what? Not getting married earlier?
Yeah. Like regrets just doing 40 years because look Capsule. At how
I'm going to say
so
something.
Many people. He gets called a rhino. He gets name called. He's a fucking globalist and all that shit. It's like you can't please anybody now. Like even a lifelong service, you're still going to get attacked. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah,
you're
no matter
be
what.
Attacked.
So I have just a blanket response to that. And if you're a younger listener, I want you to really turn up your volume on your headphones here. I think no matter what you do in your life, you could always probably find some small level of regret. So why would you ever go looking for it? I think you got to be happy with your choices and move forward accordingly.
I think this probably helps him a lot. I would imagine because he's almost 70 now, like being 70 years old, completely alone, never really had very many romantic relationships. And all you really had was doctrine and war books. You got to be like, maybe I didn't draw this up too great.
But I also think there's constructs
now
in this
he's
country.
Got a ton of money, a beautiful wife.
True.
He's living in the place that he loves. And he probably honestly doesn't seem like the guy to pay attention to any of that shit anyway.
No,
so
he's out there.
I feel
fishing,
like he's set himself pretty up to have a great second chapter of his life. I don't know.
I haven't looked at what an O-10 retirement pay would be in a while.
I bet
let's
it's
look
a
it
lot.
Up.
Plus, his wife's still working and she's making fucking bank. Okay.
Yeah, and he's definitely getting paid for appearances and speeches and stuff. He's not hurting for money.
What
and
is it,
also,
you guys
Caps,
ready?
What is it?
Wait, hold on, real quick. Last point. Like, he's, because he's never been married, doesn't have any dependents. He's never probably spent a lot of money on other people or had to worry about other people.
Oh, definitely not. I bet he has a shit ton of money. He's probably like one of those corporals that are in Okinawa for like 6 years and never go out in town and just stay in their barracks and work out in their jacked.
Oh, yeah.
And they leave with like $100,000 in the bank. Mm-hmm. How much do you guys think an O-10 with 40 years of service, what their retirement is? A month.
Monthly payment of...
This is, can we just do the one payment that comes in a month? Like the estimate?
Yeah, not broken down. One payment a month.
$50,000 a month.
No, it's not that much. I think it's that like 15. Yeah, I think it's like 50.
Grand. I think it's like,
I would
your
say it's like 15K.
World is different to me. I don't understand.
15K thereabouts.
20,000.
Yeah, I was gonna
say 15
to 20.
50K was crazy.
20,000.
Yes, that's another $30,000. Yes.
Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, okay. But $20,000 is not nothing to shake a stick at. But
you
also did
me?
It for 40 years. So when he retired, he was probably able to get like Social Security and all that shit too. Like, just about.
Yeah.
That's a little over $250,000 a year for doing nothing. Just for,
and you know, he's
well,
got to get
some
VA money. He's got to have some disability.
Yeah, he's definitely got disability.
You tell me,
so,
48 years old and doing a fucking flex arm hang didn't hurt old Mad Dog? Come on.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he's probably clearing $300K a year. And that's before
tax-free?
All his appearances. Yeah, tax free. And that's before like appearances and speeches and such.
And all the boards.
Mattis
that he's
is
on.
Living the life, man.
Yeah, he's a multimillionaire. And the physicist is probably making pretty good money too, I imagine. They don't start those books off.
Yeah, she's selling a bunch of startups and whatever. Yeah, she's badass.
But I do love the fact that Kate thinks he was making $600K a year.
He probably is.
He probably is on all
retirement.
These boards and shit.
On all the other stuff, yes, right. But not just from his retirement pay.
All right,
General Mattis, please invite us fishing. I would like to go tubing on the river.
I wonder if Kyle was invited, Kyle Carpenter. Probably.
Yeah,
it seemed like
probably.
And by the way, if you haven't checked it out, Kyle Carpenter has a new podcast where he interviews folks too. Mm-hmm. You're free. Go listen to that. One of his first interview that he did was with General Mattis because they have such a very special relationship. It was interesting to listen to them talk about their friendship and how they have grown to be close over the years. Let's move on to round number three. Kate found this video. I saw the video too, and it was kind of shocking whenever I first saw it. So Kate, explain what happened in Jordan.
Yeah. So this video is something I think like, were either of you, Cons, I know you weren't, but were you an explosive driver, Chaps?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. And so you have to, so was I, and you have to go through this course to be able to drive vehicles full of ammo or munitions or whatever.
And the name sounds so badass to the course.
Explosive driver's course. But really, you're just an ammo driver. But you have to get certified to even be able to drive onto an ammo point on a base. Like if there's all these regulations, if the blinker is out in your vehicle, the entire field op for your whole unit's ruined because you got to turn around and go. If you don't have a chalk, like they take it super seriously. And I think this video during the course for us, it was like endless videos of shit going wrong. Shit explode, like people at work in professional, like industrial settings and shit going wrong and a bunch of shit exploding. And I feel like this video will be added to that for all eternity. And it's a good reminder of why basic maintenance is so important, because it was one small thing that set off this entire thing. At least 13 people were killed and some 250 sickened when a crane loading gas tanks onto a ship in Jordan dropped one of them, sending plumes of very evil looking toxic yellow mist, like a smoke.
It looked like the Ninja Turtles were about to walk through it.
Yes. A closed circuit TV video from the scene showed the storage tank. So, and it looks almost like the size of a septic tank, this thing that was being lifted onto the ship, and it drops. And all of a sudden, poof, like somebody dropped a giant tank of neon green baby powder, just goes exploding around this ship. And it explodes like a bomb, kind of.
These are actually bigger than that, Kate. So those pictures that you're seeing, those fill up the entire bed of an 18 wheeler, those size of.
Okay.
Tanks.
So they're huge. Yeah. So it's like big. But it's like a tank like that though, but massive.
Right.
So it hits the ship. It just explodes in this toxic like dust. People go running. Dock workers are fleeing on foot. A truck carrying a second tank like starts zooming away. People are desperately trying to get away from it because according to authorities, the tank contained chlorine, a poisonous gas that can be pressurized and cooled to change it into a liquid so that it can be shipped and stored. We all know it and our household products, bleach, waste sanitation and drinking water, pool water to kill and just regular water to kill, not regular water, but kill harmful bacteria in your pools. Mm-hmm. And like Chaps, how do you get it deliver? Like, do you have someone bring it in bulk, or do you?
Yeah, it's my pool guy that brings it. But the chlorine aspect of it, because I was a dog handler, we dealt with EOD and were instructed by EOD a lot. When I was in Fallujah, this was a big risk. Chlorine bombs were a huge risk there. We were constantly briefed about it. And in fact, one of my awards that I have is because of what happened with the chlorine bomb. There, I've told this story before, but there was a truck that had a chlorine tank on the back that was shaped charged on with eight different, there's eight barrels filled with chlorine, and they were all shaped charged to blow outward. And whenever they are doing stuff like that, it's because the chlorine effect completely destroys your respiratory tract.
Yep.
Like you can't breathe. You like your eyes start to feel itchy, like they're going to come out of your head and things like that. So going around chlorine bombs was very, very scary because you don't have to be right there. You can be a good distance away and you're still going to feel those effects.
Yeah. And so this article goes on to say, you know, if it's inhaled or comes into contact with any of your mucous membranes, your eyes, and even your skin, though, burning pain, difficulty breathing, fluid in the lungs. And the article says chlorine was used during World War I as a choking agent. So that sent me down a bit of a rabbit hole. And I just kind of, we're going to veer off for a second from that main story, because I thought that was kind of interesting. Although chemical warfare caused less than 1% of the total deaths in World War I, the psychological effect that it had on people was formidable. It was extreme because it's such a horrible way to go. Thus, chemical warfare with gases was prohibited by the Geneva Protocol of 1925. So after World War I, they were like, yeah, fuck that, no more. But the World War I gas, like that started because the German gas warfare program, which was headed by a guy named Fritz Haber. He was the first to try for a weapon using chlorine, and he debuted it at the Battle of Ypres in Flanders, Belgium in 1915. The chlorine gas kind of smells like a mix of pineapple and pepper, according to those who have lived through it. And it reacts with water in your lungs to form hydrochloric acid in your lungs. So it destroys the tissue.
Additive. Just like chlorine gas doesn't smell that way. It's an additive, so you know where it is.
And it's estimated that this gas killed over 1,100 in its first use. Ironically, the Germans weren't prepared for how effective it was. So they hadn't made enough of it and didn't exploit it to their advantage. And they didn't gain much ground in that battle, even though they killed over 1,000 people. Plus, chlorine's color and odor made it easy to spot. And so you can go around. If you see it, you know where the wind is blowing, you can avoid it. So it wasn't the most useful. Plus, it's water soluble. So even soldiers without gas masks could minimize the effect if you placed a water soaked or even a urine. They were soaking rags in their own urine and holding it over their faces, but it worked. They could survive. They didn't even need a gas mask. But then there was also cases where the wind would shift and it would blow back on its own army. So people are like, yeah, not great. Phosgene gas was Fritz Haber's next choice, used by the Germans in 1915. This time it was colorless and highly toxic, leading to suffocation. The one drawback was that sometimes it would take up to 48 hours to manifest. So you could be a soldier in battle, not even know you inhaled it. And then 2 days later, all of a sudden,
brutal.
You're fucked. There's like no recovering from it. This gas is estimated to have killed as many as 85% of the 91,000 gas deaths in World War I. So altogether in World War I, almost 100,000 people were killed by gas, toxic gas, and most of them were this phosgene. The most commonly used gas in World War I was mustard gas, and it had a mustard color, and it smelled kind of like garlic or horseradish. It would cause your skin to just be covered in blisters, like chemical burns, almost immediately, this oozing yellow fluid, and by the time skin irritation began, it was too late. The mortality rate is low, but it caused problems for people for the rest of their lives. And it pretty much took you out of the battle if you were exposed to it. And gases often, I didn't know this, most were delivered by artillery shells. So cons, your unit would be given like a bunch of whatever colored cap. If it was yellow, it was mustard gas. If it was green, it was phosgene. And you would just be sending that stuff. But the psychological effect I can see, even though it was used so minimally, like it's always like a threat in Iraq and Afghanistan. You always had to have it on you. Even in Generation Kill, he talks about one of his first big wake-up calls was gas, gas, gas. And they all put on their mop suits and they're waiting for this big gas attack. And he forgets he has a dip in and he's wearing the fucking thing. And he's like, fuck, if I take it off, I'll die. And turns out everything was fine, but it fucks people up in the head. Like, it's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, how old were you when you realized you could probably go in the pool after eating something and not die?
Yeah.
Even though your parents told you your whole life growing up, you're going to get really sick if you go into the pool after eating.
Yeah. The irony is of the ironies of gas warfare. So this is just the one final thing. I just thought this was interesting. So the guy, Fritz Haber, he was the German chemist who invented a lot of these gases and the Fos gene, and also the Haber process, which allowed the fixation of nitrogen into ammonia-based fertilizer. This will make sense in a second, but he was a German Jew who converted to Christianity. And though long dead before the Holocaust, he was one of the chemists who perfected the hydrocyanide-based insecticides, Zyklon A and Zyklon B. You probably recognize the name Zyklon B because the latter gas was used to kill millions of Jews. Turns out, including
Jesus
some of
Christ,
his,
Kate, in, what are we?
Well, listen, including some of his relatives, this guy.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Ended
he
up
inadvertently
gas.
Killed his family. That's
he
not
dies
cool.
Before World War II, and then the gas that he created ended up killing a bunch of his family members later in World War II. Anyways,
wow, what a great story.
Okay, I know this is a downer, but I didn't know anything about gas warfare. I remember we all had to go through the classes. We all had to learn how to put on a mop suit and the gas mask and clear it and go through the gas chamber, blah, blah, blah. But like outside that, I never really knew much about it. And I just thought it was interesting. So
it's
sorry
gotta
to bring that.
It's got to fuck you up to design something that you think is going to be worthwhile and do something good. I don't know what these fucking weapons he thought were going to do well, but then to realize that, oh no, this is not what I intended at all.
Yeah, being used for evil. Well, it seems like he knew some of it was going to be used for evil, so who knows? But the small fortunate part of the accident in Jordan is that the closest residential area was about 15 miles away, so it could have been a lot worse. Still, a lot of people hospitalized and 13 dead, so big good vibe story by me.
Let's move on to round number four. This time we're going to talk a little bit about some butterfly goofing. The woman who originally posted this story, Mariana Wright, I feel like she wanted to start some trouble for these films.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Big, yeah. She's been absolutely.
Little shit store. Stir. Let's get going with the story.
Okay. Let's do. yes. At least one soldier, and this is from Haley Britsky at Task and Purpose.
Love Haley.
At least one soldier is likely having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad week after leaving a loaded M4 rifle in an unlocked truck at the Texas-Mexico border. The incident was shared on Twitter by Mariana Wright, whose Twitter profile says she's the exec director of the National Butterfly Center, a butterfly conservatory. Wright tweeted on Monday that she came across a running and unlocked Texas National Guard vehicle. She says, "Today, I got my hands on a fully automatic weapon thanks to the stupid, irresponsible hashtag Texas National Guard, hashtag Operation Lone Star, who left their vehicle running and unlocked with guns inside on the side of the road," Wright tweeted. "Guess the truck could have been mine, too, because
one of my favorite aspects of this story is when we posted it on our Instagram account. So many of the veterans who are like our age and a little bit older were like, fully automatic M4, that doesn't exist. It's like, yeah, it does, you piece of shit. And if you actually zoom in on this rifle, you could see where it says, doesn't say burst on the lever. It says full automatic.
It does say fully automatic. A few minutes later, there's nothing worse. Barbecue hardos are tough. Gun hardos are the worst.
Oh, gun hardos.
If you use the word gun instead of rifle,
a fucking clip, huh?
Yeah. I've made just like jokes about how I shoot shotguns and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, actually, you called it the wrong term. And it's like, it was a joke. What? Anyways, a few minutes later, Wright tweeted that she'd taken the weapon from the abandoned and unlocked vehicle and secured it within National Butterflies. Gear adrift is a gift, my friends.
True.
Secured it at the National Butterfly Center where the guard was able to reclaim it. The idiots didn't even realize it was missing when they returned to the truck, Wright said.
Was she sitting in the bushes?
Oh, if you're her, rolling through your butterfly, they're crushing all her butterflies, man.
When you initially sent this story through to the group chat, there was part of me that was like, did she just take a weapon and put it in a random car and take a picture and then fabricate the whole rest of this story because she wants to make them look bad?
No,
where my mind went.
No.
Yeah, it'd be hard to find that fucking weapon just chilling around. I need to tell you guys about this butterfly building, though. I don't know if you guys know it, but San Antonio and down towards the area where they're doing this Operation Lone Star is the biggest monarch migration in the world.
They come
through every single year. So they have these spots along this trail that they naturally migrate on where they have habitats where the butterflies actually like to go in order to make the population get bigger and bigger. And each year, I think it's during late fall, maybe, there's just tons and tons of butterflies around San Antonio. Oh, yeah.
I like to think there's one butterfly that comes by your house every year just to see Gus and Dale.
It is. His name is Hank.
Hank. Hank's always stopping through. Wright told military.com that she first saw the vehicle and four others in front of the butterfly conservatory. Multiple people went by on bikes. They were jogging past the truck, she said. As she approached the five vehicles, one with soldiers in it drove away. She then saw the truck with the loaded M4 inside. Wright said she confiscated it and immediately called Border Patrol authorities before they came 45 minutes later.
I think that's just so unbelievably dangerous to do as any person, like going in and stealing essentially somebody's weapon. Put yourself in a bad spot. It just really
does. Are you guys blaming her? I'm saying the dangerous thing. No, are you guys fucking insane?
I'm saying dangerous call thing. The authorities, sure.
Yeah, but
going,
call someone.
Going into the vehicle and taking it to a new location is wrong.
Sorry, if it's next to a trail where people call and kids and all sorts of stuff are going by and then stand in the hot sun.
Who are you to...
Go find some... How long is it going to take them to show up? I think you call
June
the cops here. Taking it to a new location is very look at me behavior. This is all tons of it is look at me behavior. Sure, they made a mistake. Gear drift is a gift. And I actually think the people that did this should be charged under the UCMJ for leaving a weapon that's loaded out and completely
unsecured.
But she was doing look at me behavior and taking it out of the vehicle and not alerting the authorities. Who the fuck are you, lady?
Oh, yeah, like, because put yourself in her shoes. She's got an axe to grind and the perfect opportunity has just fallen in her lap.
You're explaining our point, Kate. Like, exactly. That's what she's doing. It's look at me. It wasn't to do the thing about the weapon.
Well, this if was it was hot out, if it was super hot out, honey, I'm taking it into the butterfly.
She's already outside, Kate. She's already hanging outside.
I don't care.
Not an excuse.
Anyway, if they cannot secure their weapons, how are they supposed to secure the border? She asked.
Oh God, here we go.
Hell yeah. The US-Mexico border mission called Operation Lone Star.
If apples aren't oranges, what are we going to put in our fruit salad?
Has been rife with problems, misconduct, and suicides.
I just made that up off the top of my head.
Service members have experienced pay delays on a mission, say they don't have a clear objective. The mission, which has been relentlessly supported by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, has seen a series of leadership changes and in April reported it was running out of cash after already costing more than $2 billion with a B a year, while it was originally only slated to cost $412 million. Wright told military.com that the incident this week was far from the first time she's encountered the Texas Guard and that she's constantly battled them about trespassing on her property and causing incidents. So maybe also a little bit of devil's advocate here to be the annoying person, maybe parking a whole group of them outside her butterfly house.
Yeah, back on
was
her
also,
side. Yeah, back on her side here.
Pushing you have her these, a little bit.
You have a bunch just of specialists. I think I'm whatnot. Out. All these fucking reservists stomping through your land, stomping through your yard, being outside, tearing up your roads and shit like that. You don't want them there. I would not want the National Guard. That's the entire purpose of being an American.
And
so
if
that
you
know, don't have military members in your yard.
If they're beefing with her already, I picture this as like an old lady, like get off my lawn kind of thing. If they're
oh, this is very
her,
much a,
and
this
if they're
is very much
do
like
that,
a neighbor's
then, if they're going to park
situation.
In front, then they better lock their vehicles.
Oh, I agree. Like, if she's gotten into it, you know, it's like my neighbors here. I know that fucking Ricky down the block hates it when the trash cans are out. I can't leave my trash cans out or I'm going to get reported by Ricky. I got to be extra vigilant because Ricky's there. When Mariana is walking around, you better have your fucking weapon in strong side sling arms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The unofficial Army Reddit page loved this one. Others acknowledged that soldiers on the border were really going through it. One person said, man.
And they are. I feel so terrible for those folks.
One person said, man, I laugh because it's funny and I know they're going to get crushed a bit. What they did was legit dangerous. But with the way the border mission is already going and morale already being in the shitter down there, a small part of me feels bad for these dudes.
But I feel sorry for the dudes that were or ladies that were in the vehicle. I do not feel bad for the rest of the unit because they're going to have such a great time with it. Like, even though it is going to be, they're going to probably have fuck games they're going to have to do. Ultimately, when you have carte blanche to make fun of another soldier for the rest of their natural life, it's an enjoyable experience.
It is. Yeah. It's a good
You're
time.
Always going to be that dude.
Yeah. Always.
Hey, every time, butterfly.
60 fucking years from now, they're going to be like, hey, dude, got your weapon? Don't forget your weapon.
Because it does happen. We had a guy leave. We had a guy leave his M9 behind and just like totally continue on his day without it. And we had a guy.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter who you are. That story follows you.
We had a guy leave his M4. He got back from the range and was like, "Oh my god." They would like roll into the armory. He's like, "I don't have my M4. They made him carry around two ammo cans wherever he went for like a month. Full ammo cans, whatever.
And that feeling of not having your weapon, even if it's for a second, it's terrifying. Like when when you come back, because from deployment,
when it's with you 24/7, when you get home
and wrapped around your leg, if you're sleeping or something like that, like we always had to have it wrapped around our leg. So we were ready to go at any time. Yep. And then when you come back and you first don't have your weapon, I remember waking up because immediately as soon as I would wake up deployed, I would touch my left leg and I could feel my M4 on my side. And then I would touch my right leg and I could feel my M9 on my side. And then I would look to see where Psycho was. That was as soon as I woke up. And then when you wake up back home, you're like, oh, fuck. Oh, wait, no, I don't need it.
Yeah,
I did the same thing. And then I would wake up and make oatmeal with my urine.
I get that way with the baby now. I'll forget, daycare.
Here's my question. Here's my question to you two. Is it the same? Is it worse or not as bad between losing a weapon and losing a child?
Losing a child? What are you talking about?
Okay, just checking.
Did you lose on a human or losing a thing? Which one?
Either way, folks on Reddit point out, bad day for that soldier. Fun facts. There are almost 20,000 butterfly species. A lot of different butterflies out there. Butterflies use their feet to taste.
Imagine that. You're just like walking over a pizza before you take a bite.
Oh, that'd be a delight. The top butterfly speed is 12 miles an hour. Pretty impressive.
You got to pump that up. That's fucking slow.
Monarch butterflies don't live that long, and they go from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico about 2,000 miles. They make that journey at a steady 12 mile an hour clip against all kinds of winds. They cannot fly if their body temperature goes less than 86 degrees. They're thin little guys. So if it gets cold out, I mean, no wonder they're migrating. It seems crazy. That's butterflies.
Chat. Imagine if you could use that excuse in the military. Like, oh, sorry, First Sergeant. I can't go on this ruck today. My body temperature is a little irregular, so I'm going to see you tomorrow.
Can't run.
I think you can get away with it now. I mean, you can basically do anything you want in the military. That's what I would be saying. If I was up for enlistment, like a re-enlistment, I'd be like, you motherfuckers are going to have to give me some crazy shit. I've seen the reports of how bad your recruiting's going. I'm going to need $200 in retainer. My back pocket right now. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. What am I going to use that $200 for? I'm going to buy 3-Chi. I am going to buy so much 3-Chi. I'm going to skip the dispensary and all those lines. I'm going to get THC delivered to my door, but not while I'm on active duty because I don't want to get discharged for that. That would be a bad thing. But you could take 5% off your Delta 8 products, and they got THB and so much more with 3-Chi now. They have Delta 9, which is like the traditional type of THC that you get if you're just straight up smoking weed. They have the same kind of thing there, but it'll still go directly to your door. Just visit 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. Use the promo code STOOL5 to take 5% off and get a free can of fan flag sticker. They have all kinds of stuff if you want gummies, vapes, tinctures, oils. They got drink additives now. They have flavorless drink additives that come in like 10 milligrams. The drink ones come in 25 milligrams. I like to take that 25 milligram one, take the little bottle of water, shake that thing up when it's super cold, and I'm chilling in the pool with that bad boy because it's nice. It's refreshing. It's orange tangerine. It's delicious. It's 3-Chi. Go to 3chi.com and the promo code STOOL5 to get 5% off. Let's move on to round number 5. We're going to talk a little bit about fireworks and the 4th of July. Now let's go back to our childhoods. Were you guys big firework heads when you were little? Cons, let's start with you. 4th of July traditions at your house, what did you got?
Okay, so we always went to my Nana's house growing up. She always made the flag cake with like the strawberries and the blueberries. Unreal. And it was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we'd walk down her street to the middle school that was there. And that's where the fireworks were after the barbecue. It was fantastic every year. And then as I got older, I don't know. I'm going to be honest. I don't know where we used to get them, but as I got older, we would find our own fireworks. Like, where the hell did I get fireworks in New Jersey? They weren't selling fireworks. Was there like a black market for fireworks that I was getting my bottle rockets from and smoke bombs? Like, I don't remember.
You can't even do bottle rockets in New Jersey?
Nah, they got some stuff. I know at like the shop right here in town, they sell some stuff. I'll go scope that out later. But growing up, I don't know where
there
I
was
got
always
any
a guy
we
who knew how
up.
To get things for the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You know, Randy. I feel like every neighborhood mm-hmm. had a Randy who was able to do such a thing.
I remember the coolest thing was when we started getting the bottle rockets that worked underwater and we'd find a creek and just throw them into the water and explode the water. That was fun. But so those were my traditions growing up.
What about you, Katie?
My favorite one that I remember was we went into Philadelphia. Philadelphia does a huge 4th of July. They do this big concert, but you go to Penn's Landing. And I remember getting to be on my dad's shoulders above the crowd and watching them explode over the Delaware River. And that was awesome. Another year I walked up onto the ones that are on the East River in New York City. They shut down that highway, the FDR, I think it's the FDR or whatever. And you literally walk up the on-ramp and like up on this giant highway overlooking the city and the river. And it's like nut to butt. I went by myself and that was awesome. They play all this music, whatever. But mostly it was just people drunk in the neighborhood, setting off those crappy little snakes that go like, and you're like, that's it. All the kids are like, that's it. That sucks. And then getting chased by the bullies with sparklers. The big one.
Yeah, sparklers are always good. Mine was, remember when we went to Florida together, we all went to Daytona. And we stopped in St. Augustine to get that ice cream, like in Old Town St. Augustine.
Yes.
That fort that was there, Fort St. Augustine, always had fireworks that go on behind it. So my family, we would drive about 30, 35 minutes to go sit on that grass in front of the fort. And they would have fireworks that were shot off from in the ocean over the fort. And that's where we would watch. And it was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's sweet.
Yeah. And I actually think, I'm watching fireworks in the oldest city in America. This is unbelievable.
This is amazing. my first summer, I was there. It was my fourth day at West Point, and it was the 4th of July. And every year at West Point, it's actually, I would recommend it. They have the band play, and they sync up the band's music with the specific fireworks.
They play Neck, shot right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what they play. Mm-hmm. But I remember that, you know, 45 minutes, whatever, that thinking, wow, my life doesn't actually suck. And then it was over. My life went back to sucking.
So, yeah. Two other things. One time I was on Coronado Island off the coast of California for the 4th of July. And that year, so you could see all the different, like you could see tiny little fireworks over the edge of the ocean. Like, and people would be like, oh, that's LA's fireworks going off. And then all of a sudden to the right, way further south, you could see this massive explosion. And it was the year that San Diego's official fireworks accidentally all went off at once.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw it happen from across the sea.
Oh, nice.
And we were like, oh, my God. Check the news. Did somebody just, like, blow up San Diego at their fort? Like, it was this big
panic. And that's the wrong town to do it.
Yeah, it was a military town. And everybody was panicking. It was like, it was this crazy explosion in the sky way across the sea. It was crazy.
Speaking of that, is this the holiday when you're a leader in the military that you dread the most in terms of potential for something bad happening?
For falling out in some formation or parade in your hot uniform? Yes.
I'd say yes, because you have the added element of water and heat. You don't have, I would say the only other one comparable would be New Year's Eve. But you don't have the same type, because you can have a call because somebody busted their fucking asshole open on a jet ski. Like, there could be limitless things.
There's a litany of things
you're in trouble for.
Find me one unit where one troop is not putting a lit fire, a lit whisker do in somebody's
Everyone's
shooting a firework JPP out their butthole.
Themselves. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good news for pyros. Despite predictions that some light shows were going to start, because remember when the drones came out and started doing like big pictures in the sky?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People in the firework industry over at Big Firework were like, oh no, we're fucked. We're ruined. But guess what? The market for fireworks has more than doubled in the past 14 years. Specifically, 2020, COVID hits, all the towns cancel their fireworks. Every Randy in the neighborhood said, fine, I'll do it myself. And they end up ordering a fucking ton more. So now's to the safety brief. So everybody's doing their own fireworks. People are buying a shit ton more. In 2021, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission did a report showing firework industry's injuries have skyrocketed. And again, they say it's because so many shows got canceled that people took it into their own hands quite literally. And now their hands are blowing off.
Mm-hmm.
Research estimates 15,600 people require emergency room treatment in hospitals due to fireworks every just last 4th of July.
I got to say, that's not that many. I would have said no. It would be
Are you
more.
Serious?
I would think it would have been more, too.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that you had 15,600 just in Louisiana.
But listen, in 2019, before COVID, that number was about 10,000. After COVID, 15,600. That's a huge
You know
huge
what this
jump.
Also is? It's the TikTok. This is the TikTok generation.
Oh, a lot of people doing. You're right. That's true. Mm-hmm. Firecrackers and sparklers are the main culprits. During that period of this huge spike, hands and fingers accounted for the highest portion at 30%, followed by head, face, or ear.
Yeah, 22%. You get your head blown off. You're fucking having a bad
That's
report.
Unfortunate.
Eyes, people losing eyes, 15%. And when it comes to the type of injury, burns were the most frequent at 44%. But then you have contusions, lacerations, fractures, or sprains, also fairly common. A lot of sprains from the dad who lights the firework and then jukes too quickly to get away. Yeah, and slips on the grass.
Yeah.
A lot
which
of
brings us
sprains.
To our next segment, which is why we're going to do a snake draft on body parts that we wish were blown the fuck off by fireworks. Cons, we'll start with you.
I guess if I have to, I'm losing a couple fingers.
Okay.
I would take these fingers right here.
The
middle is too much for me. No,
wow, imagine as a New Yorker, you need a middle.
Yeah, how
no,
are you
no,
going through the rest of your life not being able to get somebody
finger.
To hit double birds?
Two,
wow,
ring
shots
finger.
Fired
all
at romance. Wow.
Yeah, I don't need these at all.
I'll never cut this off.
The Elvis thing.
Same.
I'll never cut this off.
My ring off. I've taken my ring off like 5 or 6 times since I've been married. This one I got in Hawaii. Look how beautiful that is.
I bet your hand stinks under there.
Let me see.
No.
Not great. I mean, it smells a little.
It's okay.
Chloriney, mustard gassy, like pineapple and pepper.
Anyway, sorry, real quick. I'm sorry about that last. I was upset to hear that it tastes or smelled like horseradish. I love horseradish. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot, World War One, for ruining horseradish for Captain
Cons.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, everyone.
Mm-hmm. I'll never eat prime rib the same again.
Final note that I just thought this was kind of interesting. In the late 50s, at the height of the Cold War, the DOD was working on their next version of the atomic bomb, and they shared this fact with this New York-based fireworks maker named Felix Grucci Sr. They wanted Grucci to make a firework that would sound like an atomic bomb, like be actually as loud as an atomic bomb, and produce a mushroom cloud that looked like one. Like, they wanted him to be able to make a firework that could almost perfectly mimic what an atomic bomb looked like. It was intended to give a loud bang followed by a mushroom cloud to get troops ready for the after effects of a bomb. So they wanted like fake atomic bombs they could set off in training. So
that's
actually
brilliant.
It's very smart. They found this fireworks guy and he was able to do it. Troops would see his bomb would go off and troops would see a mushroom cloud lifting smoke and dirt hundreds of feet into the air. So slightly smaller scale, but
man,
the idea was there.
If you were like the S3, you would get addicted to these fireworks. Oh, like every training that you wanted to do would be nuclear training just so you can blow off one of these fireworks. 100%. I mean, loud as a nuclear bomb, how much fun that would be. Like when you put troops on fiery ranges that aren't just like M4s and M16s and 249s and shit like that. But when you're actually talking about having big weapons on ranges, troops go bananas. Oh. Like if you're like, wait for it, we're 3 minutes away from this going off. Everybody like ready for it to explode.
Well, calling in,
we love explosions.
Calling in fire and support in Afghanistan, they'd be like, everybody get down. But everybody's like, no, I'm sorry. I'm risking it. We got to see.
Sorry,
it.
Let me get my camera. Let me get my digital camera out. Take this on video.
I'll take a little shrapnel to the
one,
face.
I don't think I've asked this one popped in my head. I don't think I've told this story ever. New story alert. So when I was in Karma, there was a bridge that led to from Fallujah into Karma, and it was very small, but in order to get a vehicle off, you had to use that bridge. We needed to go the other direction and could go back around to go Camp Fallujah. So we had a bomb dropped on that area to completely destroy the bridge, and we knew exactly what was going to be there on the radio telling us. So we had 15-20 reconnaissance marines sitting on the roof doing overwatch, and we could see where it was going. And the platoon sergeant, who was in Generation Kill Iceman, was like, it's coming from this direction. This is where you need to look. It's going to happen right here. And he's like, 20 seconds, because he's the only one that had comm with air. And he's like, 15 seconds, 10 seconds. And when it hits, it's like, pow! And everybody started singing and like having the best time. It was probably one of the most fun experiences I've ever had in my life.
As he's doing the countdown, everyone gets more and more erect.
Yeah, <you're> like, let's go.
And, So here's the other thing too. Like, I don't think people realize, because that's not something that most people experience in their life. You see it before you hear it too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. But and then whenever it hits you and it feels like the glass in the building that you're in is going to explode, you're just like, yeah, that sucked.
No, but Kate, yeah, like kind of like your story, we found a weapons cache one time outside of Balad. And so we called the OD, they packed it with explosives, whatever. And they're getting ready to do the countdown. And the one guy goes, so are you going to get down? I said, no, I got to get this. And I have it. If I pull up my old hard drive, I definitely have a video of this one explosion where we put like a 6-foot crater in the earth. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Nick just said his snake draft for the firework, what he would want to get blown off is his fibula, so he can get a longer one inserted.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Funny, I didn't see that pop up.
Gotta keep it productive.
Yeah. Well, like since then, the Grucci's, this family that was in this firework family from New York, they were so successful at recreating these firework versions of nuclear bombs that the DOD was like, you're hired. You're from here on out. You're our fake bomb people. They have simulated millions of thunderous bangs and blasts for the DOD.
What simulated, a fun job.
Dude, yeah, seriously. Awesome. Simulated hand grenades, booby traps, mortar shells. They're best known for their pyrotechnic displays, though. They have the Guinness Book of World Record for the largest fireworks display and the largest pyrotechnic image, whatever, like burned up in the sky. But when it's not Independence Day or New Year's, the Grucci team is experimenting with explosions to prepare troops for war. Last cool note, the Grucci family has been creating pyrotechnics since the 1850s when Phil Grucci's great-grandfather, Angelo Lanzetta, lit firework fuses in Italy using a smoldering cigar. What a cool motherfucker. Oh my God,
that's just so badass.
It's just so cool. It's just super cool. So anyways, they've lit fireworks off all the most famous buildings in the world. And it's just really cool that they create this. They've turned their passion for fireworks into this. They're DOD contractors who also do cool shit like that. So
my last two houses have been very cool for fireworks. My house that I moved away from, on the back porch, you could see the hill country. Like, we lived at the top of a hill and you could see it. And so when people were lighting fireworks in Texas, we don't have those Jersey restrictions on fireworks. You could basically buy one of these nuclear weapons if you wanted to and blow one of those things up in your backyard. But you could see all the city's fireworks. And my new one, if I sit on the pool, like facing towards my house, I can see the Six Flags fireworks from over my roof.
Wow.
We're close to Six Flags. Awesome. We see them every night, actually. Every night at 9 o'clock, fireworks go off. We could sit in the backyard and watch.
Yeah. Well, I hope everyone is safe this 4th of July. Please don't. I was always the person at the party that was like, please put that firework down. Please put that, guys, come on, put it down, run away. Like, I hate that. Everyone be so careful. My goodness. Mm-hmm. That's my note. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very good. All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Nick, we'll start with you.
Okay, so I got two things. So number one, fireworks for me was a no-go. My dad was a fireman, so that was happening.
Oh boy, I bet he saw all kinds of shit.
On at the Bono household, we were a sparkler only family. We do not screw around with fireworks. It was like a huge no-no for me. Like, he was like on alert on the street. Nobody lit fireworks on my block growing up. And then secondly, I just sent a photo to the chat.
Yeah. Awesome.
So that is me. We were talking about Elvis earlier.
Oh.
I was Elvis in the second and third grade. Now, you guys call me an onion at times because I have a lot of layers, and I do. So I was Elvis. My mother made that outfit.
Look at those little fringe pants.
Yep. In the background, you can see there's some dudes there, and that's my brother and his friends. They were 3 years older than me. They were, this I believe was Jailhouse Rock. So I did Jailhouse Rock the first year, tore the place down, the Resurrection Auditorium. And then the next year I did Don't Be Cruel. And I went on last and closed the show each year. Very so, nice. Yeah. So that's my little saved round, little tidbit about me.
There you go. Cons?
I love it.
Well, in true officer fashion, and being the only thing that stands between you and a long weekend, I got a whole bunch of stuff. So get comfortable.
Oh, God.
Okay. Number one, last night I went to a taping of The Late Show because Congressman Kingsinger was the guest. I'd never been to a Late Show taping. That was interesting. Although the PAs at Stephen Colbert's show are a little bit mean and rude, but it was a very nice experience. So I go into the green room afterwards, and I just needed to mention that Kinsinger made the comment like, oh yeah, I just flew here in my own plane. I just thought that was an interesting flex that you could say, oh, I flew here in my own plane. I parked it across the river. Yeah. Next up, we have to talk about Nancy Pelosi just elbowing that little girl in the paint there.
Brutalized that kid.
Oh, yes. My God. No regard. I mean,
between
for
her
life,
and Rudy does she Giuliani think there's getting no, assaulted is just.
Does she think there's no camp? Like, what?
That's what. They're, what they're too is old. The thought they're process? Too old. They don't get it.
They don't
like
have
everything
one.
You do is captured.
I mean, yes, where's the Roe process? Was overturned. Nancy Pelosi read a fucking poem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear a poem, Nancy.
Nobody wants to hear a poem. Unbelievable. Not a single one of us. Yeah.
Unbelievable. And, you know, obviously it was all captured. Hey, Nancy, how about an apology publicly to this little girl that you just elbowed out of the paint there?
I thought Nancy Pelosi had turned into the Rock for a second. Give her the people's
Seriously.
Elbow.
Seriously.
The speaker's elbow is what they should call that.
And what a bizarre, like, it's a kid. So what the fuck?
John
like,
Boehner would never.
John no, Boehner would never.
He wouldn't. Never. He's too sweet. He's too sweet.
Now they might get secondhand smoke.
They might, yeah.
Well, and but I mean, who
but
was
they'd
that
also have
killed?
A nice plate of spaghetti too.
Yes, that's true. That's mm-hmm. true.
That's the only time. That's the worst spaghetti shaming I think I've ever received from a speaker. Of the House.
For those who are unfamiliar with that story, Chaps, real quickly.
So we went to DC to interview the speaker probably about 3 years ago now, and we have a pretty good relationship with him. We've talked to him a couple times, and he's always been very, very kind to us. And one day after Kate and I were done recording, I don't think Cons was there for this one.
No, I had to get back. I
yeah,
didn't
you had to get
to
back.
Dinner
we
that
went
time.
To
yeah.
his favorite restaurant, and Kate had gone back too, and I was flying out from DC. That's the reason why I was the only one that went. So we were sitting there. There's a couple other congressmen and staffers and things like that that were eating with us, and they get around to me, and I already had wine because I was with the speaker and he's always having wine, and I ordered just spaghetti and meatballs from this really nice Italian place, and he looks at me and he goes, "Are you a fucking child?"
And like, you just don't expect to hear that language out of the former Speaker of the House, but it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Just fantastic. Mm-hmm. I have a very quick officer's corner. I was sitting on the path the other day, and this younger kid had to have been an intern at, you know, some company or whatever. He's standing there in his work clothes, and he's got a sport coat on, but he forgot to take the little tags off the sleeve. Mm. So if you get a new sport coat, you're not supposed to leave those tags on. It's okay. Take them off.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, for those watching on YouTube, I hope you all are, you'll notice that Chaps and I are wearing t-shirts from our new merch. Pretty awesome. And I'm just going to say something. Nick might have to cut this out, but maybe he doesn't. I desperately want this logo on a hat, on a rope hat, but we can't get that until we sell enough of these t-shirts to prove that people actually like this logo. So if you'd like this logo on a cool rope hat, buy the damn t-shirt today. Store.barstoolsports.com. Do it. Mm-mm. Do it. That's all I got. Have a great 4th of July.
Kate?
Dismissed.
Oh, thanks, everybody who messaged me about the Roe v. Wade stuff. This is affecting a lot of military members, and I'm keeping up on it probably throughout the next few episodes as any updates come through. I'll be talking about it, and I'll have some more posts on my social media. If anybody needs resources, hit me up. I'm trying to think what else. Looking forward
Kate,
to
would you like to
July.
Apologize to Nick?
No.
Wow, that's pretty rude. You just took all his t-shirts and no apology.
I did take all his t-shirts, were put on my desk. I thought they were for me. I took them. My mom has some. My dad has some. I have some.
I'm happy they have them, for the record. Yeah. I'm happy.
They were
they
my
have.
Size. I really thought they were for me. And then I stole them all. I was like, all right, I guess they gave me every color. That's cool. Which was cool because now I have every color and they're a delight. I'm trying to think what else. 4th of July. No, that's it for me. Please don't hold a lit whisker do. Especially not in your
exactly
butthole.
Right, Kate. I, for my save round, this is not an ad read that they paid for this year, but I just went through. If you saw me on YouTube, looked like I was searching for something. This is what I was searching for. In years past, we've had this, and it's just been so impactful. It can be a little frustrating, especially if you're in a hurry or running late, to find yourself at a railroad crossing waiting for a train. If the signals are going down and the train's not there yet, you may feel a little tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Well, don't. Ever. To the naked eye, trains appear to be further away and moving slower than they really are, and they can't stop. Even if the engineer hits the emergency brakes right away, it could take a train over a mile to stop. Over a mile. By that time, it's too late. and the results are potentially deadly crash. The point is, you can't know how quickly the train will arrive. The train can't stop quickly. Even if it sees you, it ends in disaster. If the signals are on, the train is on its way, and you don't just need to remember one thing. Stop. Because trains can't. Safe sex is great sex. You better wear a latex because you don't want that latex that I think I'm latex. Wrap it up. She's so sweet that she's going to lick the wrapper. And that's talking about drinking the cum out of the wrapper. Sound of retreat.